We heard just now how some of our higher mental functions might not be quite as unique as we had thought. But what about other aspects of culture, like religion or rituals? Again, we had complacently assumed that these were the sole preserve of us modern humans. Or maybe not, because the announcement in 2015 of the discovery of another early human relative, Homo naledi, suggests that these individuals could have been burying their dead. One of the people who helped to discover them is with us today. That was Lee Berger. So Lee, how did all this come about?
Well, first to correct it, I didn't do the discovery. My team did. It was discovered in a most remarkable series of events led by two amateur explorers who were working with us, who shimmied down a 7.5-inch slot, almost 60 feet underground into a chamber. And there in that chamber was the most remarkable hominid cache perhaps ever discovered in history. We did an underground expedition in November of 2013 to recover what I thought wrongly was a single skeleton. At the end of that 21-day expedition, we'd found more individual hominin remains that had been discovered in South Africa in the last 90 years. It was tremendous, and there are thousands of remains left down there. What was important was that not only was it a new species, this tiny, small-brained species with amongst the smallest brain ever found in the hominidae, around 450 to 550 cubic centimeters, just slightly larger than ape.
So that's a third of, say, your brain size, my brain size.
That's right. Yeah. In individuals that are about 5.5 feet tall, which is quite tall, but with very ape-like shoulders, but human-like hands that are very, very curved, like the most primitive of our ancestors, a primitive pelvis like Lucy's, but long human-like legs and a human-like feet. That would be incredible in itself, and to find a cache of new hominid species unexpected like that. But what was, I think, even more remarkable was that we eliminated pretty much every other reason for them being there. They weren't dragged there by predators. They weren't washed there. They weren't, as I received an email yesterday, eaten by a giant snake and deposited there, or many other things. But the 15 individuals that we've taken out so far, and there are many more in there, we believe were placed there or dropped there by their own members of their own species.
Now, just to be clear, this is in South Africa. It's not far from Johannesburg.
It's right outside of Johannesburg, an area that is called the Cradle of Humankind, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And many of the richest fossil discoveries in all of history, some of them that Richard was referring to, even archaeological discoveries, like some of the oldest evidence for the controlled use of fire at a site like Swartkrans, is only 800 meters away from here. It was right under our nose.
Is there any other explanation for how these individuals could have got there, such as they fell in or they had another entrance and it was their home?
We see no evidence of collapse that came in over time. They didn't come in all at once. It wasn't a mass death. They weren't washed in there. There's no predatory damage. And so we came to the perhaps controversial conclusion that the best explanation was this tiny-brained ancient human relative was likely putting its dead in this place, separating them from other animals and caching them away. Now, why is that remarkable? People will say, oh, elephants do that. They're elephant graveyards. No, they don't.
Could they not have been driven in there by a more intelligent being that was using them as food?
I think you're asking a question that often I think my colleagues and I find remarkable. Why would we look for a special pleading case, inventing some hurricane outside or asteroid coming or humans ritually disposing in a pet cemetery sort of way, rather than just accepting we've been wrong about human special behavior, human identity, and the idea that we're the only creature that could possibly understand its own mortality or some of the other implications, or want to keep its dead away from the natural environment because they know they as individuals are going to die.
Wasn't easy for them to get in there, was it? I wonder why they went to such extraordinary lengths to do that.
Well, that's a really interesting question. I think all you would have to do if we are right about this hypothesis is look at the great extreme efforts that humans go to prevent their bodies from being taken by the natural elements. We build tombs, we build tunnels, we build catacombs. If you are not in a constructive age, then perhaps finding somewhere very deep and remote within a cave is the best place you know that nothing's going to get to your body.
You've been quite cautious about dating these specimens. Do we know how old they are, or are you prepared to admit how old they are yet, or do you not have the evidence yet?
I know how they are, old they are right now. My colleagues know how old they are right now. We are in the process of peer review, submission of the papers and peer review. It won't be long. We've been cautious for good reason. We wanted the morphology judged for itself. People have said they're like primitive Homo erectus. People have guessed at the age. People have said two million years old, a million years old. I can tell you that whatever age Homo naledi is, which you'll learn about early next year, it's going to be quite shocking to the entirety of the archaeological and paleoanthropological community, because we have not only this species that exists, but also this potential complex behavior.
And these are individuals who are clearly not our ancestors. They are quite different from us.
We don't know that. The other lesson that came first from Sidiba in 2010 and Homo naledi is that we should be extraordinarily cautious about trying to put pins and say, this is our ancestor. This one gave rise to us. Firstly, the fossil record showing that we don't have that amount of information. There are many different species that are out there all experimenting. Second, the genetic information, the information from proteins, everything else is telling us that there may even be intermixings. I think this linear idea of evolution needs to be replaced by something like a braided stream idea, that species diverge and converge back and forth at different times, and that we're a result of this very deep, very complex experimentation and evolution over hundreds of thousands and millions of years.
I think we're going to have you back, aren't we, Lee, to fill us in on the rest of it. Incidentally, Thomas Proffitt is also with us. Thomas, do your primates that you study, do they show any interesting ritualistic behavior?
Well, interestingly, a couple of months ago, there was a paper published about the chimpanzees in the Thai forest in West Africa and in the Ivory Coast, where they found that many, many chimpanzees were, basically you have these large trees with large buttressed roots. And within these buttressed roots, they found these very strange caches of stones. And they put camera traps in and they observed these chimpanzees. And what they found was that often a male chimpanzee would come rushing past the tree. They would pick up one of these stones and they would throw it back into the buttressed root whilst exclaiming or shouting. And they would do this repeatedly. And this has been suggested as a potential ritualistic behavior.
So it served no benefit to them to just dump a stone, a bit like us climbing up a mountain and building a cairn by heaping up stones. This is what they're doing.
It's the exact word they used. Absolutely. They used the word cairn. Yeah, I mean, we don't know why they're doing this. It could be something to do with communicating over long distances in the rainforest. I mean, they make a very loud noise, but they equally make a very loud noise when you just hit one of these buttressed roots. So they don't know why they're doing this. And so the general rule of thumb is if you don't know why you're doing something or why they're doing something, it's a ritualistic behavior.
Thank you, Thomas.